The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Miss a segment? Want to share a segment with a friend? Go to SundayMorningNewsmakers.com to catch the podcast. Plus, hear our past shows. That's SundayMorningNewsmakers.com.
President Trump remained optimistic about resolving a growing trade war with China.
I think it's going to turn out extremely well. We're in a very strong position.
That's the president outside the White House. He said trade negotiations are tough, but noted that a deal could absolutely happen. We're going to learn a bit about this subject of trade with China and working out a deal with Joshua Phillip. He is the Epoch Times China expert and is joining us by phone. Joshua, it's good to talk with you. How are you today?
Yeah, doing well, thanks.
China and the U.S., has there been a history in the past of one side having a better deal than the other? Kind of set this up for us.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting that the guy who wrote the book on this, Peter Navarro, the book Death by China, which is also a documentary film he made, is Trump's advisor on this. And so Trump has the right person on his team to be calling the shots and showing where there are trade imbalances that favor the Chinese Communist Party's companies over U.S. companies. China inflates its currency. It steals intellectual property. It has used tariffs on us in the past. We traded a major loss to China. Has many open programs to steal, copy, undercut competitors. Just to name a few, I think everyone's familiar with Unit 61398. Those are the five hackers indicted by under the Obama administration for stealing U.S. technology. They have recently reformed that under a new military branch. It's the Strategic Support Force. But at the time, that was under the General Staff Department, Third Department, and that unit was one of 22 similar units running similar operations. In other words, that was under the Chinese Communist Party's war-fighting branch. Stealing U.S. technology was a war-fighting effort of the Chinese Communist Party under that branch. And keep in mind, too, that after Obama indicted those individuals, no one was ever no one was ever charged or anything. And not only did China not stop those activities, but once they got spotted doing it, what they did was they started redirecting internet traffic rather than hacking the networks. And so China Telecom got exposed doing that. They were redirecting internet traffic of U.S. companies to Chinese networks and just, taking the data off the networks like that. They didn't have to steal.
I didn't get a chance to ask you about the story about ZTE. There was a story about this company that does a lot of the technology and how the U.S., there's only so many providers of these gadgets, these electronics, and it's like, wait a second. Can the ZTE products phone home and let the Chinese government know what we're doing?
They have been exposed doing that in the past. One of the hang-ups people get is they say that they try to argue that the companies themselves are doing that, as if the companies themselves are spying on you. The companies can always deny that. But what's important to remember is that under Chinese law, under the national security law of the Chinese Communist Party, all data needs to be secure and controllable. They are required by law to have that data accessible to Chinese authorities. They cannot do that and still operate in China. Any Chinese company has to abide by Chinese law, and that is Chinese law. And so, yes, anything you do on a Chinese device or any device you have that uses their software is going to be sharing any data it collects or any data it can collect with Chinese authorities under Chinese law.
Now let's go back to the trade situation and our U.S. president. President Trump talks about the Chinese president. Here's what he says about him.
The relationship I have with President Xi is extraordinary. It's really very good, but he's for China and I'm for the USA.
And what about that? Every time the president's asked about the individual, he speaks highly of him. Is that a negotiation tactic or does he truly like the guy?
It's hard to say. I think Trump, that's his negotiating style. You know, that's art of the deal. You're watching. That's how he operates. I think he naturally does find, you know, things that he likes in individuals he works with. Of course, he's also not afraid to criticize them, and I think his willingness to criticize people is one of the reasons why a lot of people get mad at him.
Yeah.
You know? He'll praise you and he'll criticize you.
So walk us through this. So we don't like the deal we're getting because China has taken advantage of us. So we say, wait a second, you got to rework this deal so that it's fair and all this stuff. China balks at some point. So we say, okay, we're going to stick tariffs on you. And the president speaks highly of that, as if, oh, we're going to make all this money. But then other people say, well, wait a second. Tariffs are actually paid for by the end user of the product. If I buy something that has been brought in from China, I'm going to be paying the price for it. Which is right? Or are they both right?
Well, I mean, they're both kind of right. The tariffs will more affect Chinese buyers. I mean, of course, we'll have to pay tariffs on their stuff, too. I mean, it goes both ways. I mean, it is accurate, right? The issue is that when it comes to product competition, right, the prices of those products need to match the prices of their competitors. It will even out the playing field. One issue we have with Chinese companies is that they can, you know, when they come into the U.S. and they make business deals, they can sell and make contracts at a loss. They do not need to make a profit. Because they're financed by the Chinese Communist Party a lot of times. We're seeing this with, the whole Chinese rail industry. For example, they went into Australia, they bid on the rail products there, they undercut all their competitors. There were three other major rail companies. Two of them went out of business because, you know, the Chinese company was bidding under cost. They couldn't, a private company cannot compete with that. They put two of them out of business and acquired the third one. Now they dominate the market because they're the only company that can operate there in that industry. They shut down the other ones. And, what happens when they control it? Then they control the pricing. Then they can raise the pricing. And then they can start bidding whatever they want. They're doing the same thing in the U.S. right now. I think it was in Boston, for example, they bid on a contract, and they bid a half of what the U.S. competitor was bidding. And so, you know, we're dealing with a situation where I think people, when they look at this, they think trade war. They think trade war, right? Industrial war. It's not an industrial war yet. This is the negotiating phase to make sure the rules are the same for everyone playing. The way things currently work is that the Chinese Communist Party has rules for its companies and rules for foreign companies. And the way those rules are made is that foreign companies cannot compete against Chinese companies. The game is rigged against them. They cannot win.
So up to now, we're losing. He's trying to get it so we're fair. Now, Trump says there's a solution to not having to put tariffs on products. This is his solution.
All you have to do is build or make your product in the United States. There's no tariff whatsoever.
Is that also kind of an interesting thing, too, that if we think about it, we have all this ability to do things. We're just not doing it in the U.S. because it costs so much to make things here. When you put tariffs and raise prices and stuff coming in, makes our stuff more reasonable to build. It's just like drilling oil. If the cost is worth it, you can do it. If it's not, you don't. Is there something to making things here?
Well, I'd say there's a few sides to this. One is, I mean, yeah, this is classical industrial warfare. When a country loses its manufacturing capability, it loses its jobs, it loses its control of supply chains. You know, it's not just the company manufacturing. It's where they buy their. It's why they're where they buy the raw goods for their product. It's the steel industry. It's, you know, silicone chips. It's all these things. It's you know, factories and communities that don't really have jobs otherwise. And it's also not only that, but it's also the ability to innovate, the ability to learn how to build something, the ability to maintain those capabilities within your own country. Remember that in wartime, too, this is really valuable. Just as an example, during World War II, a lot of the factories were, you know, repurposed to manufacture tanks. You know, car factories were manufacturing tanks and airplanes, things like that. If you don't have the factories, you don't have the capability for production. You're reliant on another country for production. And eventually, that's just going to that means that you're not producing anything. You control the idea. You control the intellectual property, but when you're dealing with China, they're stealing that as well. And eventually, when people learn to, you know, when they stop learning how to actually make things, when another country is making things, they start becoming the innovators.
All right. So we have a lot at stake here. Joshua Phillip from the Epoch Times. He's their China expert. Just got a couple minutes left. So short answers, quick ones. So how's this thing going to resolve itself? How quickly? Will this show that I just taped with you be dated by the weekend, or is this going to go for a while?
The way things are looking, I think this initial phase of negotiating tariffs will not go for a while because China can't afford it. The way they've been playing their game is they've been playing unfairly at every turn they possibly can. The U.S. hasn't been doing anything about it, really, for a long time. And so they only stand to lose.
All right, so by the time this program airs on Sunday, they may blink, right?
They may blink. I don't think it'll be that soon, but I think it's possible they might give a bit of room.
All right.
One important thing I hope that Trump understands, which I think he does and I hope he does, is that when you're dealing with the Chinese Communist Party, they will sign any deal you give them, but they will do everything they can to violate that deal as soon as possible. They've done this every time we've made deals with them, you know, World Trade Organization, you name it. They just don't play by the rules once they sign the ink. It's the way they operate. So I hope the U.S. side understands that.
Yeah. And you said, though, that Trump has a guy advising him who really understands the game here.
Peter Navarro, yeah, he's very good. He's one of my old contacts. I understand people, you know, because things are so partisan now, they don't like anyone who works at Trump. But Navarro has a very good track record. He's a very smart guy. Before he worked for the Trump administration, you know, he and I talked every now and then. He's a great guy. He knows what he's doing.
All right. Quick wrap up here. So what would a fair deal be? You got 30 seconds to describe what we're looking for.
A fair deal would be that Chinese companies, when they do things unfairly, they are held accountable to what they've done. It would be a playing field where U.S. companies and Chinese companies can compete on fair ground, right? And so the ability for them to compete will be determined by how good of a product they make, how good their customer service is, their innovation, and so on, not by states pulling strings.
And they got to stop stealing our intellectual property.
Yeah, fully agreed.
Joshua Phillip, thank you as always. Great to hear from you. Does an excellent job over at the Epoch Times. If you haven't had a chance to read the Epoch Times, please do so. We had a complimentary copy left for us a couple of weeks back, and when you flip through it, it's like everything the Times isn't. It's not right or left. It tells you the story. Whereas, like, I think when you read the LA Times, it's done in a kind of I hate Trump's kind of point of view. And I don't think people need to read that. People should be able to decide for themselves what they want. Great job over there. And Joshua, thank you so much for your report for us.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
AM 870, The Answer. 3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.